Welcome to today's podcast, the Let's Talk About Poop podcast, where every week I go do a deep dive about a topic that you guys have about your GI tract. If you're new to this podcast or this channel, I'm Dr. Islam. I'm a board certified gastroenterologist trained at the Mayo Clinic, currently practicing at Lubbock Gastroenterology. And my passion is to give you guys the best tips and tricks so you can help out when it comes to your gut health. And every week we do a deep dive into a topic that a question you guys have asked about, and we do topics on that as well. And at the very end, I go into my live stream to answer any questions you guys may have as well. So if you're joining for the first time, consider subscribing, give us a 5-star review on Apple iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts as well. So tonight, we're going to talk about all about hernias and hiatal hernias. It's a very common question that I get when I answer questions about what is a hernia, how do we diagnose a hernia, what are symptoms from a hernia, and we'll talk about the treatments for a hernia as well. And once again, if you're joining us on the live stream, put your question on the live stream so you can get these questions answered by a GI doctor as well. So let's go ahead and start. So first question, what actually is a hiatal hernia? So I have a lot of patients that come see me because they're worried that they have a hiatal hernia. They've been told they have a hiatal hernia. What exactly is this? So in your body, you have what's called the diaphragm, which is the connection or a thin layer that separates your esophagus and your stomach. But in that diaphragm, you have a hole to allow your esophagus to go down into the very bottom part, which is where your stomach is at. Now, commonly, a lot of us can have issues in that area. And if that diaphragm gets enlarged or that hole becomes bigger, that's when part of the stomach can actually go above where it should be to develop what's called a hiatal hernia. And this is where the stomach goes above where the actual area is, where that plane is as well. And for a lot of our patients, that can manifest in a lot of different symptoms. A lot of patients come to see me complain about their hiatal hernias. They've been told they have a hernia, they've been told they have symptoms from a hernia, and they've been told that the hernia is the reason why they have their issues. So how actually can we diagnose somebody with a hiatal hernia? There are a couple of ways we can do this. The first way is that sometimes imaging will allow us to see if you have a hiatal hernia. So we can do what's called a CAT scan, sometimes an x-ray, and we can see where part of the stomach goes above where it should be and actually cause things to be trapped in that hernia to cause symptoms to occur. But the imaging test is not the most accurate test for us to see if you actually have a hernia, because it doesn't give us a lot of good information. It could be false. It doesn't tell us necessarily the size, the width, or if you're actually having complications from that. So the most accurate way for us to see if you have a hiatal hernia is to do what's called an upper endoscopy or an EGD. This is basically we use a very small camera and take a look down the stomach and the esophagus. And with this, I can answer a lot of very important questions that are important questions for me and for you to know, do you have a hernia or is it causing your issues? We can determine the type of hernia that you have. We can determine the size of the hernia that you have. We can determine the width of the hernia that you have. And we can also see if you have complications from that hernia. So meaning, if you have a hiatal hernia, you may have complications from that we can see with an upper scope. And what's important to me as a GI doctor who treats hernias all the time is that we want to figure out how big that hernia is. Is it big? Is it small? Is it nothing to worry about? The mantra that we typically use in the GI world is if you have a hernia that's 3 centimeters or larger, that's the time when you may want to consider getting surgery done. But sometimes hernias can be large or width-wise, and that can also cause issues to occur as well. And we use a term called the Hill grade. This is a way that we can determine how wide the hernia is, and we can also see the length of the hernia as well. But what's important for me is not necessarily the width or the size. So that is important, but are you having complications from that hernia? So hernias can lead to certain symptoms. So let's do a deep dive into the symptoms. So hernias, once again, is when the esophagus or the stomach is above where it should be. It can actually cause you to have part of your stomach higher than what it should be. When you have that hernia that's there and the hernia that's above or the stomach that's above the diaphragm, that can cause what's called the lower esophageal sphincter to be open longer and more often. And what are the issues with that? Well, the big issue is heartburn. So heartburn is not an acid problem. It is a valve problem. And in very rare cases, do you have too much acid? In some conditions like H. pylori, you can have too little acid. But the main reason you have heartburn and regurgitation is that it's a valve problem. The valve is open longer and more often than it should. And so because of that, when you have a hernia, that triggers that valve to be open a lot longer. So you can have reflux symptoms to occur. So for a lot of my patients who have chronic acid reflux, they don't know why. They've done everything. They've done lifestyle changes. They've been on medications. They've been on twice daily medications. They take Gaviscon and licorice and all sorts of stuff, and they're still having symptoms. It may be the fact that you have a large hiatal hernia that's causing the valve to be open and causing things to reflux up into the esophagus. That's one complication. Another one are strictures or narrowings. Have you ever had the trouble with things getting stuck in your esophagus? Well, that's not normal, number one, but also that can be a consequence of having a hiatal hernia. If you have a hernia, you can develop what are called strictures, which are narrowings or fibrosis of your esophagus. So imagine just things are, you have this narrowing in your esophagus and things are getting stuck as it's going through. That will cause difficulty swallowing, and that can cause you to have the sensation of not being able to swallow appropriately. But let's say that you don't have that issue. If you have a large hernia sac, guess what? Food will get stuck in that hernia and feel like it's just kind of sitting in this area. So if you have that sensation of food is sitting there, that may be a hernia that's there. A third symptom is pain in the epigastric area, epigastric pain. Now, epigastric pain right here is due to a lot of different conditions. I'm not saying it's only due to hernia, but one of the symptoms or one of the conditions actually is a hernia that can actually cause epigastric pain to occur. So if you have pain in here, what we typically want to do, obviously we want to feel it, see what's going on. We may get some imaging like an ultrasound, because pain right here can also be due to your pancreas, maybe gallstones, gallbladder, but also your stomach as well. But hernias are part of the thought process for whenever you have pain in this area as well. And so usually what we'll recommend is that we'll recommend an upper scope to kind of see what's going on and see if that may be a contributing cause for your pain as well. So we talked about what is a hernia. We talked about how do we diagnose a hernia. We talked about the symptoms of a hernia. Now let's talk about when do we want to consider treatment of a hernia, because not all hernias are the same. Let me stress this. Not all hernias are the same. Just because you have the symptoms from a hernia that we think, and just because you have a hernia, does not mean that treating that hernia is going to fix your issue. So here's what you need to know. Number one, the first question I want to ask is, are you responding to the therapy that we have you on? So for example, I had a patient this week that was having really bad acid reflux, but his reflux was partially controlled on an acid-reducing medication. He told me, hey doc, I had reflux, the medication you put me on, it helped some, but not all the way. So I did an upper endoscopy on this patient, and guess what? He had a large hiatal hernia. So here's what I told him. I told him the best predictor to know if your hernia is going to respond to hernia surgery therapy is your response to an acid-reducing medication. So this is what I do. I will put you on a medication, whether it's trouble swallowing, whether it's epigastric pain or GERD, I'll see your clinical response to that. And your clinical response is going to dictate and let me know you will or not respond to hernia surgery. So if you're on a medication and your symptoms don't get better, guess what? It's a good chance that fixing your hernia is not going to fix your issue. Now, if we kind of cross that bridge, we do two objective testing to find out if there's an issue with the hernia or there's something else going on. One is that we do pH testing. It's a test that we do in our office or in our clinic where we put a small little scope down. We actually put a device inside where the near the hernia, and we objectively measure how much acid goes up. What's important for me is, do you have pathological acid going up, and is that acid causing symptoms? Because if it is, that gives me information that most likely the hernia is the cause for your issues. We also do a second test called a manometry test. Now I'll tell you, this is not a pleasant test. It is not fun. It sounds weird, but you put a probe down your nose while you're awake. For about 20 minutes, we have you swallow water. We want to see how the contractions of the esophagus are. This allows us to rule out certain conditions in which getting your hernia fixed will be a terrible idea, the main one being achalasia. Now, we do these testing. I assess your response to PPI therapy, see how you do. You do well, all right, we'll go on. We do pH testing. It shows you have an abnormal amount of acid going up, meaning that hernia is causing the issues. All right, we can do that. We do the manometry test, in which we rule out conditions like achalasia. If we do these three things, this gives me an excellent probability that you're going to respond to hernia treatment. So how do we fix this hernia? So let me tell you, not all hernias have to be treated. Even if we do all the testing, you don't have to get it treated. I'll tell you a story of another patient of mine. Very sweet lady, had acid reflux, had a hernia, initially thought that she wanted to get a hernia fixed. We went the whole schmigabarole, I guess that's the word, and we actually told her, hey, your hernia is one that would be considered for surgical therapy. And she told me, hey, doc, I don't want to do it. I was like, really? You really don't? She's like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine with lifestyle changes, acid medications. I'm fine. I'm like, no big deal. Not a problem. You do not have to get your hernia fixed. Let me stress, you don't have to get your hernia fixed. It really just depends on how you feel. So what can you do on your own? Number one, lifestyle changes, they work. So things like losing weight, weight gain, it's one of the biggest risk factors for developing hernia. Number two, avoiding all the trigger foods that make your symptoms worse. Spicy foods, chocolate foods, tomato-based foods, the foods we enjoy for some individuals, that can make your symptoms worse. If you want to change that, they'll make it better. So for me, I have bad acid reflux, but my reflux is not triggered by coffee. It's triggered by beef. So I limit the amount of beef that I eat. Number three, sleeping on your left-hand side. That changes the direction of where your valve is at. And also number four, making sure you don't eat late at night. These things work. Or if you want to be on acid medication, that's fine as well. So I want to stress, you don't have to go and get your hernia fixed if you don't want to. But if you do, it typically is a surgical procedure in which they can do some laparoscopic incisions, either do a wrap around that, where they wrap part of the stomach around the esophagus and close off that hernia and change that valve. Or sometimes they'll reduce the hernia and put what's called a lynx, which is a magnetic ring around the sphincter to keep that valve closed. Now, like any surgery, there can be complications that can occur. Like anything in life, there are risks and balances with that. So if you are interested in getting this workup done, we do this absolutely in our office. That's our bread and butter. It's what we do in GI. But also, we also want to have a discussion and tell you the risks, the benefits. Is it going to work? Is it not going to work? Or is this the right option for you? But a couple of things I want to stress at the very end. So number one, a lot of people have hernias. If you have them, come see us where we can find out exactly what's going on. Number two, just because you have a hernia does not mean it's the cause of your symptoms. We need to do a careful workup to make sure you have the right options for you. And number three, even if we do the workup and you decide you don't want to get your hernia fixed, that is fine as well, because that is not a big deal. You don't have to get it done. You don't have to worry about those issues as well. So I get a lot of questions about hernias. I thought I'd want to do kind of a deep dive today just to see and make sure everything is doing okay with that. A couple of questions I'm seeing on the chat right now that we'll go through. Once again, I'm Dr. Islam, and if you're new to this channel, I do a podcast where I go through a main topic in the very beginning, then answer any questions you guys have at the very end as well. If you're watching on the live stream, don't forget to smash that like button, like, share, and subscribe. Let me know if you're watching this live or on the replay, and also where you guys are watching this at as well. The first question, hey, Dr. Islam, I've been diagnosed with diverticulitis. What are my recommendations for what I should or should not avoid when it comes to eating? I love this topic. Great question. I see this all the time. A lot of things on the internet that are very, very confusing. Here's what you need to know. We know that seeds, nuts, popcorn play no role in making diverticulitis worse. Don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. Go crazy. I don't care. There's no evidence for that. What you need to avoid are foods that are high in red meat. Red meat has been shown to make diverticulitis symptoms worse. Non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medications, Aleve, Naproxen, Advil, Motrin, this will make it worse. Smoking will make it worse as well. And a diet that's low in fiber will make it worse. So increase that fiber, decrease that red meat, quit smoking, don't take NSAIDs. This is kind of the magic pill naturally to help control your diverticulitis. Great question. All right, the next question. Hey, Dr. Islam, I have a pain in the bottom. What is going on? All right, another great question. So bottom pain is a very common symptom that I see in my office. I see this all the time. There are a couple different reasons why you can have pain in the bottom. Number one is a fissure. A fissure is a tear in the bottom that can cause you to have significant pain. Any paper cut in your bottom is not fun. And any paper cut in your bottom can make you have pain. You have so many nerves and blood vessels that are there, they'll make things worse for you. So even a small little cut can make things very, very difficult for you. So we want to check for a fissure. We'll do a rectal exam, see what's going on, see if we can feel something. Number two, sometimes a thrombosed hemorrhoid will cause significant pain. You'll know this because it'll be a big old purple thing that's just shooting out from your bottom, and we can see this on exam. The treatment for that is that sometimes we have to excise that thrombus clot and fix the hemorrhoids in the future. Number three could be a very large internal hemorrhoid. Internal hemorrhoids can cause pain, bleeding, itching, and pressure. So we'll do an exam. And if that's the case, we may offer treatments for that. We do that in our office. It's quick, it's easy, it's painless. Come see us for that. And also, there may be an abscess going on in your bottom. And sometimes it could be something as significant as a cancer as well. So for anybody coming to see me with rectal pain, I'll do a rectal exam. They'll give me a good idea of what's going on. If it's a fissure, we'll give you some lidocaine, some nitroglycerin, maybe some other ointments. We'll make sure that you have soft stools, lift up your legs, and get that taken care of. If you have hemorrhoids, we'll get those fixed. If there's a thrombosis, we may have to cut that out. But always for my patients of rectal issues, I recommend at least taking a look with the scope because you never know. And I don't want to be the doctor that just assumes that's the case. Want to see what's going on, and hopefully find out if we can figure out exactly what we can do to get that taken care of for you as well. All right, guys, perfect. Well, I want to thank you for watching. I want to thank you for listening. If you haven't already, don't forget to smash that like button. If you're watching this on the channel, on the YouTube, don't forget to give me a 5-star rating on the podcast as well. If you want to be on the videos or on the podcast, send us a DM. We collect these questions. We'll do it in a more formal way soon. We're just doing an experiment on the podcast. So thank you for watching. Hope to see you guys on future videos and podcasts as well.